You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Verse 17. Notice what the psalmist says. Simple. Real simple. Psalms 118, verse 17. Notice what he says. He said, I shall not die, but live. That's what the psalmist said. I shall not die, but live. I shall not die, but live. Notice he recognizes that there is a choice there. He can choose to die, but he can also choose to live. And notice the choice that he makes. He makes a choice to live. Notice it again. He said, I shall not die, but live. Notice why. Notice that one of the main reasons he wants to live, so that he can declare the works of the Lord. Notice, he discerns that it's not time for him to die. Listen, even though he's going through a whole lot, and death, if you will, is at the door in the form of his enemies rising against him, to kill him, to destroy him. And not just one or two, but a whole lot of folk. But this is what I want you to see tonight. He yet has godly discernment to know that even though things are tough, it's not time for him to die. He knows within himself that it's time for him to live. And so tonight, based upon that, look at a person, tell them the subject tonight, it's time to live. Look at somebody else and tell him or her the subject tonight, it's time to live. Now look at one person in his or her eye and tell them, I don't know what all you're going through tonight, but there's a word in the house. Tell your neighbor that word is that it's time. Finish it. Time to live. If you believe it, give God a big hand clap of praise if you believe it. Come on, only if you believe it. Clap real hard if you believe that despite what folks are going through, despite what they may be experiencing tonight, it's time to live. It's time to live. Notice, in one sense, this is what I want you to receive tonight, that when it comes to living, of course, we know living is, in one sense, simply existing. To exist. But I also want you to receive tonight that when a person is just existing only, he or she is alive physically, but they are living without a covenant relationship with God. When a person is existing only, he or she is living, yes, but they are choosing to live without having a covenant relationship with God. Now, many of us know who are Bible readers tonight that when you go back, especially in the Old Testament, and you would look at certain promises, God's promise was for his people. There were certain things that God had promised to do for his people if they would obey him. And understand tonight, when God enters a covenant with a person or a group of folk, that covenant, again, is based upon two important things. Number one, God doing for the person or the group of people what they cannot do for themselves. But they must obey him. So see, in a covenant, there is God doing his part, But as the people of God, we are required to obey God. And so whenever you're in a covenant with God, it's not just God doing what he's supposed to do. But again, it's also you and I doing what we're supposed to do, which is to believe God or to trust God. New Testament, to live by faith and not by what? Sight. So understand tonight, again, when you look at living, it's just going to have to do with existing. But we're not interested tonight in just existing only, but I want to look at living according to God's word. I want to look at what God means when he talks about living. Because if you understand, when God speaks about living, you understand living from the standpoint of, yes, existing, but living life, and this is so important, and I say it all the time, as God has ordained for you to live. That means if I'm living my life as God has ordained for me to live, then that means I'm going to have what he wants me to have, and I'm going to be who he wants me to be, right? I'm going to have what he wants me to have, but I'm also going to be who he has ordained for me to be. So that means if God has ordained for me to have something, it doesn't matter, if you will, what's not there at the time that he says to me he's ordaining for me to have something. If I believe God, if I would just trust God, he will do again for me and for you what we cannot do for ourselves to make sure that we again have what it is that he has said you can have. That's important. You will also be who God has ordained for you to be. And you'll be able to be who he has ordained for you to be despite going through trials, tribulations, and trouble. Right? Are y'all with me so far? Because this is important. Now notice, dying, we know literally is just to physically cease to exist. But dying figuratively has to do with to live in ruin or to live a life whereby you are being destroyed or defeated. And let me say tonight, I'm not going to live a defeated life. I'm not going to live a defeated life. I got about probably 4 or 5 amen, but I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to live a defeated life. Even though things show up to defeat me, because I know in whom I serve and I know in whom I have believed, I will not live a defeated life no matter how many things line up to defeat me. So you ought to be able to say amen to that because things will line up to defeat you. Things will line up to stop you from having what God said you can have. Things will come against you to hinder or stop you from being who you know God has ordained for you to be. But if you're determined to live a victorious life, then you're not going to allow, listen, anything or anybody to defeat you or to cause you to live a defeated life. Now, it's sad when folks set up in church living a defeated life when they don't have to, because that's not what God came to give us. He didn't come so that we could be defeated. He didn't come so that we could live beneath what he wanted us to have. And some of us need to just catch hold of that tonight. That's a good word for somebody tonight. For you to just recognize that when it comes to Jesus, he came so that we could have life and have it how? He came that we could have life and have it what? Let's look at that tonight. Notice John 10 and 10. I know some of us, we know it by heart, but I want you to look at it with me tonight. I want you to look at it with me tonight. Because some of us fighting having what God done ordained for you to have. He's ordained for me to have it. He's ordained for you to have it. If you believe God, let me show you what he's ordained for you to have. Notice the scripture tonight. Notice what he says. Now, John 10 and 10, check it out. He said, the thief, somebody say the thief, does not come, watch this, except to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. What did the thief come to do? So if the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy, I don't want to team up with the thief. I don't want to team up with the thief. I don't want to be connected to the thief. Why? Because Jesus done told me what he can do. He coming to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Now, you would have to be out of your mind again to want to pair up with the thief, knowing that he come to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But in time past, we were connected with the thief. And when we look at our life before God or before getting saved, we would have to admit that the thief was stealing, killing, and what? Destroying. Right? But notice what Jesus said. He doesn't want anybody to think that he's anything like the thief. See, something wrong with a person mentality when they feel like God come to steal, kill, and destroy. God didn't come to steal. But there's some people mentality when God trying to get them to give, they look at God as if he's trying to steal. But remember, he's not the thief. He did not come to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Notice plainly what he come to do. And this is who I want to be paired up with. That's who I am paired up with. That's who I'm going to continue to be connected with. See, basically, you got two folk operating in the text. You got the thief, and then you got the Savior. Because that's who Jesus represents. You got the thief, and you got the Savior. The thief, watch again, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen, saints, Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? That Greek word is zoe. And that they may have it more what? Can anybody argue with why Jesus came? It's going to be hard to argue with that, right? Let's read it again. He said, I have come that they, who are they? Those that believe him. His children, his people, those that are in a covenant relationship with him. This is what you and I are entitled to. This is what you entitled to. This is how you are entitled to live. Notice, I've come that they may have life, that they may have it more what? More what? Life more what? Listen, not just abundant, but more abundantly. More abundant. Some folks forget about the more. He put more abundantly. Listen. I'm going to say something strong here. See if you can agree with it. That means if I have my connection with God is right, listen, I shouldn't live an ordinary life. I shouldn't be satisfied living a mediocre life. And I certainly should not be satisfied living below average. Tell your neighbor, you were not ordained, not the new you, to live just an ordinary life. Now look back at that person and say, but I wonder tonight, how are you living? You and I were not ordained to live an ordinary life, just a normal life. We were not ordained to live like people in the earth who have no connection with God. There's supposed to be a difference between how people are living who's connected with God versus those who resist God. But we got to believe that, saints. I said we got to believe it. And no matter how you try to fix it, having life and having it more abundantly is a good thing. That's living good. Ooh, I need to do a check tonight. Look at somebody just and say, do you want to live good? Or do you have a problem living good? Some of y'all act like what I'm preaching, like you got, Pastor, I'm going to fight that. I don't want, listen, I want all of it. Come on. I want everything that God has ordained for me to have in this life. I know a whole lot waiting in the sky, in the by and by, in the heaven, but there are some things that's waiting right here. Can I take it a step further? There's some stuff he got for his people this year. Some stuff he wants us to get this year. There's some stuff he wants to happen in your life this year. In this season. And you can only have it if you are receiving what he came to give you. Are you with me? So listen, nobody has to live an ordinary life. It doesn't have to be in the church to where you got some folk living good, some folk barely making it, and then others are just pitiful. God don't want that like that. He don't want that like that. And guess what he did? He didn't even base it on your last name. He didn't base it on where you come from. Because if he'd have based it on where we was coming from, then there would be no hope for some of us to get to a certain place. We out. We just missed it. We missed it at birth. Not our fault, but hey, just born like this, got to live with it, got to learn to deal with it. But tell you that, when you became a new creation and you hooked up with God, shout to a person that changed everything. That changed up. That changed everything. Everything that was working against you. It changed the moment you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. That changed and opened up for you and I an opportunity to live life like we never dreamed we could live it. I mean to enjoy life. To be victorious in life. Listen, despite what you go through. Because you're yet going to go through some stuff, am I right? But in spite of everything that you go through, you can still live life according as God has ordained. Are y'all with me? Now notice this. And this year, guess what? When it comes to how we going to live, we want to possess the same spirit of what? Faith. That means we want everybody in the church living the abundant life. How many feel like that by a show of hands? You want everybody in the church to live life abundantly. You ain't got no favors. You ain't picking and choosing. Lift up your hand. I want y'all to look around at folk that got their hand ready to say, Pastor, I want everybody to experience life and life more abundantly. Everybody. Put your hand out. That means we want singles to experience it, right? Right? We don't want them to have to sit back and wait till they get married to experience. We want them to go ahead and experience it what? Right now. We want every married couple to live this type of life, right? We want it for our children, right? We want it for our leaders, right? We want it for our family, right? All over the church, we want God to blanket the church to the point to where everybody's getting blessed. I want it to be so to where we may have to have testimony service every Sunday just to be able to hear from folk on a regular basis. That's how many folk getting blessed. I don't want it to be that when we testify, we got the same people coming up. We want to be able to do it back to back and have a whole different crew. Am I right? Listen, if that is to happen, then we got to receive what God came to give us. And listen, receive it even if you make minimum wage. Receive it even if you retired. You see what I'm saying? Because some of us, we put limitations on receiving what God wanted us to have. Are you with me? So now notice, go back to Psalm 118. Go back to Psalm 118. And notice tonight, I want to deal with the number one enemy tonight that will try to stop people from living life the way God ordained for them to live it. I want to deal tonight with the number one enemy tonight. Tonight, this is the number one enemy. We don't know what it may be tomorrow, but tonight, the number one enemy
is the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. It's the number one enemy. Okay? Now, we know according to what? 2 Timothy what? 1 and 7. What does 2 Timothy 1 and 7 say? Oh, Lord, boy, we sound weak as water. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us spirit of what? But of power, love, and of what? For God has not given us but of love. For God has not given us a but of love. For God has not given us a but of
love.
Tell your neighbor, I know one thing. If you have it, it didn't come from God. Tell them what that one thing is. Not just fear, spirit of fear. How y'all gonna say something 10 times and then the spirit of fear? He didn't give you the spirit of what? Fear. We're gonna go back over it again. 2 Timothy 1 is there. For God has not given us but of. For God has not given us a
spirit of fear,
but of
power, love, and sound mind.
Tell your neighbor,
I know one thing.
That if you have it, God didn't give it to you. Tell him what that one thing is. Tell him God didn't give you that. And if you have it, you shouldn't have it. Because it didn't come from who? It didn't come from who? Spirit of fear shows up to do three things. To influence you and I to do three things. Get this tonight. If you get it, your life gonna change. Ain't no doubt about that. If you get it, it's gonna change. Sad thing is that some of us walked in here being controlled by the spirit of fear, and by a choice, we're going to get them walk out of here still being controlled by it. Even though you claim to be a child of God, but you got something that God didn't give you and that he don't want you to have. See, that's saying tonight, if somebody is being influenced or controlled by the spirit of fear, that's something you need to renounce. That's something you need to get rid of because it's blocking you from living how God wants you to live. Three things spirit of fear come to influence you to do. That's simple. Number one, to think wrong. Number two, talk wrong. Number three, do wrong. Spirit of fear shows up to influence you and I to think wrong, talk wrong, and what?
Wrong.
Tell your neighbor, I know that's real. Because tell your neighbor, if truth be told,
I've had
spirit of fear before. And when it was controlling me, I did not think right, talk right, or do right. See, if God say you can have something, but if the spirit of fear is controlling you, you will think in reference to that thing, there's no way I can have it. If God says he's ordained for you to do something, if the spirit of fear controls you, it will convince you that you cannot do what God says he has ordained for you to do. You can't do it. And some of us be so controlled to where we don't even attempt to do certain things. We too scared to even attempt to do it. Even though God has said, go do it because I got you. I got you. But all we got to do is step up and know God with us. But the spirit of fear has us thinking it ain't no use in me even trying no more. See, you're being what? You're being influenced and controlled by the spirit of fear. And it's causing you to think wrong. And when you think wrong, like it or not, it's automatic that you're going to talk wrong. And then it's going to cause you to do wrong. That's what they come to do. That's what they come to do. Don't miss that again. That spirit of fear, when it's controlling you, it's causing you to think wrong. Even when it comes to trouble that God is permitting, if the spirit of fear is dominating you, you can't even address the trouble correctly. You can't even deal with the trouble the way you need to deal with it, because the spirit of fear has got you thinking wrong, talking wrong, and doing wrong. Everybody in the church is going through something, but the spirit of fear has convinced you that you're the only one battling tough trials. Got you thinking you're the only one going through certain things. See, he's got you thinking wrong. When you ought to know, according to the scripture, like many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God shall deliver him out of them all. You should then know that if a person is righteous, he or she is going through something, because the righteous go through afflictions. But why are you thinking you the only one? See, don't miss it. Got you. Spirit of fear will have you thinking what? In other words, God wants you thinking one way. But see, when the spirit of fear show up, it wants you to think the total opposite. God wants some of you to think that you're coming out. But if that spirit of fear warring against you and you giving in to it, it's going to have you thinking you'll never come out. You'll never come out. And then when you feel like you will never come out of certain things, then you start saying it's going to always be this way. I'll never get beyond a certain point. I'll never be able to live a certain way. I'll never be able to have a certain thing. I'll never be able to afford that. I'll never be able to accomplish that. See, you thinking wrong, and it's going to lead to you talking wrong, and then it's going to lead to you doing wrong. Folk be sitting up in church struggling financially, and know that giving will change their living. Sing the song. But when it comes to giving, like it or not, they think wrong about it. They think like giving hurting them. God can even impress upon them to sow a certain seed. But since they're controlled by the spirit of fear, they say stuff like, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to give. You're thinking wrong. Don't miss it. Spirit of fear causes us to what? Think wrong, talk wrong, and what? Do y'all really realize that tonight? See, some of us, the reason we ain't thinking right is because we have the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear will control you to the point to where you won't even pray. That's how a saved person gonna miss prayer, because he or she feels or thinks that prayer ain't helping. Prayer ain't doing nothing. Prayer ain't doing nothing. And so they don't pray. Knowing the scripture says if you don't pray, that you're gonna eventually do what? Lose heart. Now you're wondering why you're in a place where you're losing heart. It's because of what you think in reference to prayer. You don't think prayer works. You don't think prayer helps. And nobody is going to consistently do something that they don't feel is working. Every one of us ain't been praying lately. That spirit of fear dominate. When God says step, spirit of fear will tell you we'll line up 6 good facts that suggest if you step, it's going to be your last step. So think carefully before you move. And instead of some of us just knowing, look, it's God done told me to move, and I got to move. We sit there and go over them six reasons. And then we don't move. Psalm 118, look at it. Look at it. Y'all quiet tonight. I say you quiet tonight. Now notice, Psalm 118, he said, I shall not die, but what? Live. Listen, this he decreed when enemies had surrounded him. Tell your neighbor, it's easy to talk right when everything going right. Tell you, you got to have the ability to talk right when everything that can go wrong seem like it's going wrong. Tell you, neighbor, that's when it's important to talk right, think right, and do right. Yes, it is. When you are told no, that's when it's important to keep in your mind, God said yes. God said yes. And when you talk like you know he said yes. Even though man just told you no. But you got a yes in your mind. You got a yes in your mouth. And when it comes to what you doing, you're making sure that your action or your choices are saying, yes, it is time. Notice, just look at verse number 12. I want to show you one thing he said about his enemies. He said, they had surrounded me. Verse 12. He said, they surrounded me like bees. Tell you, if you know what bees do. And when they surround you, from a literal standpoint, they deadly. One may not do no harm, but get surrounded. I don't care if you're allergic or not. Enough bees is deadly. Teach this thing, Pastor. Sometimes trouble surrounds you and says to you that it's going to take you out. He said, they surrounded me like bees. So death is looking inevitable. It's going to happen. Nothing can be done about it. I'm surrounded by bees. But he has the audacity, while being surrounded, to utter out of his mouth, I shall not die, but I'm going to live. I'm going to live even though they got me surrounded. I'm going to live even though I just got laid off. I'm going to live even though I'm going through this, that, and the other. I'm going to live even though they're saying it'll never happen. I'm going to live because that's what God has ordained for me to do. You have to know what God has ordained even when your enemies have surrounded you. Even when it looks as rough as it's done looked in a long time, you got to know the will of God and you got to be able to speak what does say God. He had to no doubt defeat the spirit of fear to get to the point to where he could utter out of his mouth, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Recognizing, like we need to recognize tonight, that it's not time to die. It ain't time to be in ruin. It ain't time to lose nothing. It's time to increase and improve. I am teaching hard and preaching hard. Listen, that's what it's time to do. But tell your neighbor, if we're going to do that, especially when trouble's surrounding us, we have to kick the spirit of fear to the curb and believe God anyhow. See, some of you about to go from being broke to never being broke again, but the spirit of fear has got to go. It's got to go. I'm preaching to somebody. You've been trying to do something. You've been being met with opposition, but it's about to happen for you. That's a word from God that something supernaturally is going to happen that's going to tilt everything in your favor. It's going to tilt it in your favor. If you're getting your spirit, that it's time for you to live. Listen, I'm teaching the people tonight that it's time for some of us to have things And don't you get scared when I say that. It's time for you to have things. I'm preaching to people tonight that have been going for a long time without. God showing up tonight to serve notice on you that your days of just struggling, just barely making it, living paycheck to paycheck, he wants all that to end. He wants all that to be a thing of the past. But if that's going to happen, the spirit of fear got to go. Because remember, even if God want to make you a millionaire tonight, if you don't get rid of the spirit of fear, it will convince you to think wrong, talk wrong, and do wrong. And you will miss what God wanted to do. And listen, God told me many of them are going through some tough stuff. That's the reason I'm taking you back to Psalm 118 so that they'll understand that I know, listen, what has them surrounded. See, some of us, God trying to give you a breakout moment, but debt got you surrounded. And debt is telling you, you can't go to the right, and debt telling you, don't turn to the left, because we have you surrounded. But God is saying, get in your spirit that it's time for you to live. Hold on, I'm finna close, but I'm gonna close in 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings 17. I'm gonna close right there, because see, the spirit of fear got to go. I say it's got to go because the spirit of fear shows up to ruin seasons. And even as I'm preaching right now and I'm teaching line upon line, the spirit of fear is talking to folk in this church right now. Already trying to convince you that it ain't no need in you thinking that he talking to you. Don't think that. Don't think that. And if you give in, you sitting right up in the sanctuary thinking wrong. Thinking wrong. Because when I talk like that, some of us get ideas as to why that can't be for us. You ever had God talk to you, but then trouble also speaks to you and said, now how that's going to happen? And you got to do this. What you going to do about such and such and such and such? And see, then we start trying to figure in our mind, yeah, how am I going to do that? Yeah, they told me, don't come back unless such and such, such and such. And I don't have such and such, such and such. So how am I going to just go back without such and such, such and such? See, the thing to know is whether or not God is telling you to go with such and such. Because if God is saying, don't worry about such and such, then go ahead and go knowing that you don't have such and such, such and such. Look at 1 Kings. I'm going to show it to you, then I'm going to close. Elijah shows up to a widow woman who has been commanded to provide for him. And when Elijah shows up on the scene, he asked the woman to do basically what God had told her to do. Now, let's pick it up in verse 12. So she said, now, because he didn't ask her for water, she said, okay, I'll get it. Then he said, bring me a morsel of bread. Now, remember, she'd been commanded to provide for him, to take care of him. If you look back at verse 8, 9, and 10. So in verse 12, when he speaks, give me a piece of bread, she says to him, as the Lord your God lives, I'm in 1 Kings 17, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar. So she got a handful of flour, and she got a little oil in a jar. And she says to him, see, or understand, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and what? Die. She said, I only have enough for one meal, and then we're going to die. Because I have a handful of flour, and I got a little oil. Now tell your neighbor, if she wasn't an experienced cook or an experienced provider, she may have said that out of ignorance. Because I mean, some of us don't know how many folk a cake will feed. Right? Because we never had to make one and we never had to serve one. You don't know how much a cake will feed. How many people a cake will feed, right? But now some folk will tell you down to the T, depending on who eating. How many a whole cake will feed? They'll tell you immediately you can get certain such slices out. So understand, she's not an ignorant woman. But she's looking at things from a natural standpoint. She's saying, based upon the flour and the oil, we can go one meal and that's it. And with her natural eyes, there is nothing that she see that can help death from coming in and consuming them. Watch Elijah. It's in line with what I'm teaching. And Elijah said to her, do not what? Do not what? Do not what? So what she spoke because the spirit of fear was controlling her. Even though God ordained for her to provide for him, it was the spirit of fear that suggested to her, if you do it, you have nothing. Hear me. When he saw her, he recognized her. When he came up, he recognized, that's the widow that's supposed to sustain me. When he told her, go get me some water, she did not say, who are you? She recognized, this is the prophet I am to provide. They on the same page. But when he asked her for something that she felt like she couldn't do, the spirit of fear told her, there's no way you can do that. Let me close it. And bring me afterward and make some for yourself and your son. So now listen, you can feed you and your son. But you can only feed you and your son after you feed me. See, I'm trying to break it down and get done with it. She only has a little. But Elijah says, watch this. For thus says the Lord, I got a rhema word for you, woman. You got to get rid of fear first in order to receive this word. See, that's what some of us got to do. You can't even receive what I'm saying tonight unless you get rid of the spirit of fear. He said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the being of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of the Lord. And she and he and her house ate for how many days? For how many days? The being of flour was not what? Nor did the jar of oil run what? Tell your neighbor, it never overflowed. It just consistently continued to sustain her. The flour didn't run over and over. It was always just enough to do what needed to be done. I'm come to tell you, God been having some of us there. He have been doing enough to make sure we never went under. But now he's saying, the same way I kept you from going under, I want to take you over. But listen, she had to get herself together because she had a window of opportunity to obey. And if she didn't, Pastor, what would happen if the woman don't obey? Then God could have easily called the raven back and said, do what you did by the brook, because the widow don't want to do right. But listen, it was only when she got rid of the spirit of fear that she could obey. Listen, that she could think right, that she could talk right, and she could do right. Pastor, how could she go in there fixing him something first and not even knowing from a natural standpoint if she would have enough to survive? Because she kicked the spirit of fear away and she received that rhema word. Tell you, maybe it's time now.